In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. When I was a child, the Christian faith spoke to my heart in deep ways. It promised answers to questions and needs that I felt acutely. Now, this was a problem when I was seeking to differentiate myself from my parents, who are themselves devout religious practitioners. I wanted to be loyal to God, even as I was trying to figure out how to be my own person apart from my parents. So for me, growing up, a primary means of rebellion consisted in attending other churches. Not the church my parents attended. You can see why I'm a priest. I was enchanted by the spirit of Quaker meetings and the people that I met there. The youth group at the Southern Baptist Church had lots of great kids, even if the teaching was sometimes a little off-putting for me. My loyalty wasn't connected to denominational commitments or doctrinal litmus tests. I was looking for God and for relationship. I believed and believe that those things can be found in the midst of most religious communities and among very many communities that aren't especially religious. After seminary, I lived in the Bronx in New York City, where I was part of a team planting new churches. But most weekends, on either Friday night or Saturday night, I would sneak away to a local Orthodox synagogue to pray. What I loved most about attending the synagogue was gaining access to a wider understanding of who God is, what worship is, and who I am. Just as I refused to be limited by denominational lines within Christianity, I was crossing over beyond the Christian fold and finding a belief and practice which were, on the whole, very fitting for my own faith journey. Worshipping at the synagogue only helped to deepen what I already believed. I believe that there is no discontinuity between the Jewish Bible, what we often call the Old Testament, and the Christian Bible, the New Testament. From my point of view as a Christian, they tell a single story. Jesus was not a heretic. Jesus was not an inventor. Jesus was not an innovator. Jesus did not start a new religion. What Jesus was a reformer. Now, for most of the children in our community, Tuesday will be an important day. But besides Halloween, many of our friends, especially our Lutheran friends, will be celebrating the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther nailing his 95 theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg, thus sparking the Protestant Reformation. So today I wish you, and especially any Lutherans who might be in our midst, happy Reformation Sunday. Jesus was a reformer. So when the Pharisee asked Jesus, "Teacher, what commandment in the law is greatest?" this was neither a hostile question nor a trick question. This was a slow ball lobbed right over the plate. It was an invitation for an easy hit. Even though tradition had parsed up the Torah into 613 individual commands and prohibitions, most Jews already agreed on which one command was the most important. That most important command is one of the essential pieces of daily prayer in the life of every observant Jew, even today. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." The greatest command is to love God with your whole heart. Not halfway, not in a perfunctory way, not in a limited Sundays only when I'm at church or with people I like, or just in the private, personal sphere kind of way. The greatest command is to love God everywhere, at all times, in all relationships, and in every context. Our love of God informs our views of world politics, our opinions about child rearing, and the ways that we choose to care for our own selves. To love, of course, is not merely to have a warm feeling of affection. We can love people whom we dislike. To love is to take seriously the needs of another. To love God is to take seriously God's nature, God's preferences for us and for the world, God's concern for us and for nature and for other people, in every decision we make, in every attitude, in every action, in every word. Love is a way of responsibility, a way of being in the world. To love God with all of one's heart and soul and mind is to be intentional so that the reality of God, the nature of God, lies behind every decision that we make. Love is a habit that is formed over time. Like first-time parents learning to consider the needs of that baby as they reform their lives to account for this new reality, this new love. Now, if there's one God, and we were all created by that one God, and we were all created in the image of one God, then loving that one God leads unavoidably to a corollary. If I am to love God with all of my heart and my soul and my mind, then I am going to love the image of God that I find in you. For a monotheist, there is no other. There is no person who is beyond my obligation to love wholeheartedly. Partisanship, xenophobia, homophobia, Islamophobia, anti-Semitism, sexism, nationalism, any kind of discrimination, even an acceptance of radical inequality, these are all excluded. Jesus explained this by pointing to that second command, which was very much like the first. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." If I don't like being hungry or naked or homeless or addicted or uncared for, then I will not find those to be acceptable states for others either. Just as I feel the suffering of my child or of my spouse your suffering is real to me, and it demands from me a loving response. For me to love God is for me to love you. That is, to take your needs seriously. Now, I may not be able to resolve your needs, but neither will I fail to respond to them in an appropriate fashion. This is the logical conclusion of monotheism. So, happy Reformation Sunday. Reformation is to take words and practices and theologies like monotheism, these things that with time maybe have proven a little wonky, a little imperfect, a little imbalanced, and to realign them with their true center so that they operate as they were intended. Loving God and loving neighbor are the true center of religion and human life and the kingdom of God. Doit pointed out last week that there are some interesting 500-year cycles that happen in the work of Reformation on a worldwide cultural level. Reformation also happens on a personal level in every generation. The testimony of my heart is that the work of Reformation is eternal and unceasing and very personal. Reformation in the end is a matter of the soul. I can do good deeds, I can follow laws, I can celebrate liturgies, but in doing these things, am I loving God? Am I loving my neighbor? Do my actions and intentions and words flow from the love of God, or do they come from my own search for validation? On my best days, I am a living work of unceasing reformation. And then there's the rest of the time. I love the Episcopal Church because we are a spacious community. We are a community which incorporates a great breadth of perspectives and ways of encountering God. We recognize that every human belief is partial, inadequate, and in need of reform. And that is not only okay, that is good. That is an invitation to grow, to flourish, and to become ever more centered around these two great commandments to love God and to love our neighbor. Because no matter who you are or how you worship, God loves you, and you are a part of God's community.